Hello and welcome to this new episode of Daughters of Narcissistic Mothers podcast. I'm Mathilde and I'm your host. I'm an inner transformation mentor supporting women in healing mother wounds through the one-on-one 10-week program and through Reclaim Your Fullness online community. To know more about these offerings, sign up to the newsletter or visit the website womenreclaimingtheirfullness.me. All the links are in the description. It's been a while since I've done an episode on No Contact. And recently I've received an email from a listener asking when it's the time to go no contact. Having received her permission to do so, I'm going to read her email here, as I feel her experience reflects what many daughters go through, even on a daily basis, when dealing with toxic mothers, and in particular, with the vulnerable narcissistic type. As the manipulation and the things that happen can be subtle, and when we look at it from the outside, especially if you're sharing this with someone that hasn't been through it, it can seem like it's not much, but actually you know, because you're living it firsthand, that it's a lot to take every day from your mother. So that's why I want to share this email with you. So here we go. Hi Mathilde, I've been binge listening to your podcast and it's fantastic. My mother is 86 and we had to place her in assisted living this year due to her falling many times and then breaking her ankle. Over the past year, I've killed myself moving her, taking her to surgeries and doctor's appointments, and meeting her every need, including helping her decorate her new apartment. I also cleaned out and set up her condo. I work part-time. I am in a master program and my husband was diagnosed with ALS a year ago. We also have 3 dogs and 2 young adult children that still need us. We also help out my in-laws some. I warn her that now that she's doing better, I must take a step back and focus on my family. However, I agreed to take her to one more doctor's appointment. This is what happened. I picked her up to take her to the doctor. The appointment went great and she's healing well. The doctor said to come back in 5 weeks. As we checked out, she said, "Will you bring me to the next appointment?" I said, "Please schedule it so the van can take you, and if I'm free, I'll meet you here." She got haughty and said, "Fine, I'll just have your brother bring me. She then told the scheduler in a haughty voice, "Schedule it any afternoon except Fridays because we have a happy hour then and it's the only thing I have to look forward to." She then tried to hand me a piece of paper for the device she needs to call and order that she will wear for 30 minutes a day to improve bone growth. All she has to do is call and order it. It's all written down. She said, "You will call and order this." And I said, "No, that is something you can do." Furious, she said, "I'll have the girls at the front desk help me." On the way out, I tried to explain that with everything I have going on, I need her to take on more of her own tasks. And it's also good for her. If she doesn't use it, she'll lose it. She got mad, told me to stop lecturing her, and shushed me. I told her it was unacceptable to shush me. I'm an adult and allowed to share my opinion. We got in the car and she said, "Do you hate me now?" I explained that her behavior was pushing me to my breaking point. She constantly criticizes, ignores my boundaries, and says passive-aggressive things. I gave her 2 examples, one being that she told me that all the grandchildren text her back on Valentine's Day except for my kids, and she said that you're too sensitive. And when I became angry about this, she said, "You're so angry." She never apologizes, self-reflects, or admits to any wrongdoing. Her ego is too fragile for that, I guess. I also told her how she said the kids sent her a short Merry Christmas text on Christmas and then said very short. She denied saying this. I dropped her off and left her with her shouting, "This ruined my day." Oh, and on the way into the appointment, she pretended to be confused, acting like we were at the wrong doctor's office. I firmly believe this was a manipulation tactic to get me to bring her to the future appointments. She is with it for an 86-year-old and has no dementia. She's texting and leaving me voicemails to get me to respond, but I've had enough. Her victim mentality, passive-aggressive comments and guilt trips are too much. My mental health is suffering and my blood pressure is high. I've informed my brother that I'm taking a break and I'm unsure if I'll ever be ready to re-engage with her. He was sad but supportive. My question is, when is it time to call it quits and go no contact? In your podcast, you give so much great advice on how to navigate the narcissistic relationship, but it takes so much effort and work to do that. I'm wondering, why should I have to do all the work, I'm already in counseling, and effort just to be able to visit an old woman who only wants to control and hurt me, even though she constantly professes her love? So that was it. That was a long email. Thank you for listening. And thank you so much for the listener who sent this email for the permission to share it, because it's so helpful for everyone to hear others' experiences firsthand. So does this listener's experience resonate with you? Have you been through your own version of this with your mother? And have you been wondering, when is it time to go no contact? Are you torn between your duties as a daughter and the need to focus on your life and your own family? If you are, I totally get it. Especially if your mother is more the vulnerable narcissistic type, this decision can be a very challenging one to make. In many cases, with a more grandiose type of narcissist, the abuse is in a way more outstanding, which doesn't make it better or worse. And that has its own challenges, even in going no contact anyways. But in general, it can be so outstanding that it makes it a little bit easier to decide to cut and go no contact at times. And the reason being that often when it's that outstanding, it can be easier to explain to others. Other people that are around you, when you're talking to them about your decision, may be a little bit more understanding. In the case of a vulnerable narcissist, the manipulation is more subtle, like in the email I just read, and it can be easily brushed off by someone witnessing it from the outside. They can easily say something like this to you: "So what? She just wanted you to go with her at a doctor's appointment. How is that even a bad thing? That's what a daughter should do for her mother." Or, "So what if she wants your kids to send her longer messages for Christmas? Isn't that what grandchildren are for?" Or, "Look, she's even worried that you might hate her, the poor woman, and she's telling you you ruined her day. What a bad daughter you are," and so on. So what anyone looking from the outside doesn't know is the amount of apparently small, but in truth not small at all, comments, criticism, invalidating remarks, passive-aggressive statements, disregarding of your needs and of your boundaries and so on, that you have received and tolerated for years and years, because this has been going on since childhood. A mother doesn't suddenly turn into a vulnerable narcissist. That is being going on forever. If anything, when undealt with, as they grow older, it kind of tend to get worse. The question of the listener was, why should I do all the work to visit an old woman who only wants to control and hurt me, even though she constantly professes her love? And the most common answer you'll get to that question is, because she's your mother and you have to. That is the conditioning we received, and that society backs up. Just because she's your mother, you're supposed to take all the abuse coming your way, put your head down, disregard your own needs, put your husband and children in second place, and tend to her. And again, with a vulnerable narcissist, it's even more intense, as more than likely everyone around her thinks she's great, because she has made sure to tell a story of victimhood and of utter perfection to the outside world. I can never tell someone to go no contact, and I never will, because it is a very personal decision and you are the only person who can feel into it for yourself. And as I mentioned in other episodes on no contact, which I will share the links in the description of this episode so you can catch up if you haven't listened to yet, it is not always the only solution. So it's very, very personal, and it's really up to you to feel into if it's the time for you to go no contact. But what I did answer to this lovely listener was, Your time and energy are precious resources, and to access them one has to deserve it, which by your mother's behavior, it doesn't seem she's doing much to deserve your efforts. You have the absolute right to set strong boundaries, take care of yourself and your family, and protect your energy. That's what I answered in the email. And it's because you do. You have the right to take care of yourself and your family and protect your energy, and strong boundaries are needed for you in order to do that. The conditioning is that we have a duty to take care of our mother by default, that just because of the mother title she has, she is entitled to do or say whatever she wants without ever facing consequences. Has she ever told you growing up things like, "You're not supposed to speak to your mother like that. Don't you dare answer your mother. I'm your mother, you just have to listen and do as I say. I'm your mother and you will respect me." And this may have been reinforced by the enablers around you that could have said things like, "She's your mother, you should do as she says," or "You should respect her," or "You should love her," and so on. So we're conditioned that just because she gave birth to you, she has the right to behave with you in any way she wants, and you just have to take it. I remember being at a retreat at some point, something like 14 years ago, and the facilitator wanted me to access gratitude because my mother gave birth to me. And at one point, she wanted me to bow at like the symbolic image of my mother just because she gave birth to me, which I internally knew how many times my mother told me how hard it had been for her to give birth to me, that it was like the ultimate sacrifice that she ever made, that I was that stubborn I didn't even want to come out. And I also knew how very little she took care of me afterwards, because she left me with my grandparents after only a few months from my birth. So I knew all of this. And I couldn't bow, like my body didn't want to do it. It's like my legs were locked. I actually ended up in the end doing it just to end the process and go back to my seat as this was going on for a while. But I felt so wrong for it. I felt like it was all my fault, that I was the one who should bow and yet I couldn't do it. Never once my mind told me that maybe I had a point. It only told me how bad a daughter I was and how I clearly did the exercise wrong, did not understand the exercise. So this is the conditioning. And I'm not suggesting you should not be grateful to your mother for giving birth to you. I definitely am now. But being grateful and being in debt are two very different things. And the conditioning we received is that we're indebted to this woman, even if she treats us like absolute shit. Excuse the language, but that's what happens. The thing is, you don't owe your mother anything. You can be grateful she brought you into this world, if that feels true for you. You can even love her. I do love her. I do love my mother. If that feels true for you or not, if it doesn't. You don't even have to go around saying that you love your mother, but you had to set boundaries. If you don't, if that doesn't resonate and ring true to you, that's okay too. You're allowed. The main thing is that you don't owe her anything. So the conditioning when we have a mother with narcissistic behavior, and more so with a vulnerable narcissist, again, it can be subtle, so it can be sometimes a little bit more hard to spot, is this. First, You are responsible for her well-being, physical and emotional. Second, you owe her forever because she's your mother. Just because of that. Even if she hasn't done anything for you all her life, just because she's your mother, you owe her forever. Third, if you don't do what she says or what she needs, you're a bad daughter. And from this inner shame comes the guilt. This belief, this conditioning that if you don't actually do what she says or tend to her needs, you are a bad daughter. From this shame, that's where guilt comes from. That's how she can guilt trip you. She's playing on this shame that you carry, even if you're not aware of it. Fourth, you need to always tend to her needs first. And from this, having to keep track with her all the time, comes the anxiety. Because you're always hypervigilant. You always have to make sure she's okay. I remember going around always with like keeping tabs on my mother's emotional state, or if she was comfortable, if this was okay, if I said the right things, and so on. And that can cause a crazy level of anxiety in a system, because you're constantly on alert to make sure you're keeping tab with this person. And her emotional moods can swing left and right, up and down, without any notice. So you have to be on alert all the time. And fifth, boundaries are a bad thing. Only bad daughters do. Or they are allowed with everyone else, but not your mother. That's a cute thing. Like, for example, like when she may ask you to set boundaries with your husband so that you can tend to her instead. I've had my mother saying that to me so many times. Like I was unable to set boundaries with my husband or with my children. But I couldn't, of course, ever set boundaries with her. But I had to set boundaries with everyone else so that I could have time to spend with her. So these are the main conditioning that we receive. And this conditioning runs deep and is backed up by society and also by all the enablers around you. So all of this can make it really intense to actually make the decision to go no contact. And it makes it super intense to even set a very simple boundaries, like without even going all the way to go no contact. When you're even thinking, okay, I just want to set a simple boundary. I'm not able to bring you to the doctor's appointments anymore. I need you to take care of it yourself because you're able to. And that can already be super intense and it can take such a toll on your system. I totally get that. So when is it time to call it quits and go no contact? You can go no contact at any point that it feels right by you. In most cases, this happens after a very bad or intense incident, like a moment she pushed you that bit too far, the final straw, so to speak. And that's okay. Like, that can actually be the catalyst that gets you to go no contact. I've had like a screaming session of my mother on the phone towards me. I wasn't screaming back. She was doing all the screaming for about, I don't know, 15, 20 minutes. And they were 15, 20 minutes too long, believe me. And it was like, okay, this is the end. This is the final straw. I can't take this shit anymore. So there can be like that. But do you have to wait for that? You have to wait for that moment when she pushes you that bit too far? No, you don't have to. If, as the listener says in her email, you're nearing the point of breaking down and your mother still doesn't get your boundaries and insists in treating you like a doormat, you have the absolute right to set a stronger boundary and take care of yourself. A narcissistic, toxic mother conditions us to believe that boundaries are wrong. We properly have not experienced what it is to set boundaries and have them respected. Dr. Peter Levine, expert in trauma, speaks of the memory within the muscles, so within the body, and mentions how not having a memory in the body of boundary setting from childhood makes setting boundaries as adults a very difficult job, like literally that feeling of being able to just use your arms and hands and kind of gently push someone away and go, okay, this is my personal space. Like babies would do that. You know, I've had enough of your smothering. Just, you know, get back a little. But if that's not respected, and with a narcissistic mother you can be quite sure that isn't, or it's punished, or it's whatever version you've experienced, then we don't have that memory in the muscles. Like literally our body doesn't have that memory. And we also receive the conditioning because she's made sure to tell us over and over again how that's a bad thing. And it's in subtle ways. Because the boundary building skills happen in subtle ways. Sometimes, I remember, for example, with my own kids, at the beginning, when especially one is younger, like, and the other one is a bit older, they don't want to share the same toys, perhaps. And one is like, no, I want a moment by myself. I don't actually want to have you here all the time. And a very common thing at that point is like, I know, you should always be together, or you should share all the time. It's like a bad child doesn't share, or a bad child doesn't want to be with her little sister. But that's actually a moment where you're setting, as a small child, you're beginning to set a boundary. You're beginning to say, I actually need space for myself. And you're already shamed from the very start that that's a bad thing. So all these little subtle things form the conditioning that setting boundaries, it's not a good thing. And what is going no contact? Going no contact is actually a boundary. Even if you never tell your mother, I've never told my mother, I am actually going to go no contact, goodbye. That sentence never came out of my mouth. I actually didn't even know what no contact was, the whole concept of it, when I stopped talking to my mother. What I did, I expressed another boundary that she didn't respect, and then I implemented the consequence. But that's what going no contact is. It's just another boundary. So when we can practice to set boundaries, and we'll get there in a minute, that is the skill that is required to be able to go no contact. Also, another thing to note is that as children, we couldn't just leave. We had to stick around despite the abusive behaviors. So we had to learn to put up with all of the abusive behavior. It was the only way to survive. So because of that, we learned to put up with a lot of it. We learn to take a lot more than necessary and put our heads down. So a lot of stuff that now happens in relationships and in the relationship with your mother, we take it. But that's really abusive. It's just because we've learned to survive through it. We've learned to cope with it. We've learned to just put up with it. And I kind of... It's not that it desensitizes us, because we're suffering internally quite a bit, but we've sort of learned that we just have to get on with it. Because as children, we had to. You couldn't just leave, but now you have a choice. Now you can actually go, no, that's enough. I'm not taking any of that behavior anymore, because that's abusive. And this kind of getting used to it and getting to the point that we have to put up with it, added to the conditioning that mother is entitled to us, to our time, to ask of anything she needs of us, and to treat us any way she feels like just because she is mother, makes us stay in very hurtful situations for way longer than we need to. So there's no ultimate truth in when it's time to go no contact. Save for the more obvious situations where your life is at risk, and the abuse is impacting your overall safety, in which case it's definitely time to go no contact and fast. For any other case, I can only share from my own experience. So my first step, when I took abuse for like forever, abuse that when I actually started sort of sharing it and talking about it, people were looking at me like I had two heads, as in, you've taken all of that? Did you not realize that that was abuse? And I was like, no, I actually thought that was just a mother-daughter relationship. I thought I had to take it. I thought that was just my job, which is what I find with clients all the time. So I know I'm not alone in this. And if you're feeling that way, you're definitely not alone in this. So that was the first thing. Like, years and years and years of putting my head down, taking it on the chin. It's my mother. Even though I didn't bow in the exercise in the retreat, I still kind of bowed to her all the time anyways, in a sense. So when I got to the point where I realized that that was abusive and what that was doing to me and to my own family and to my health and my emotional health and everything else, I just set a boundary, both internally with myself. I actually started more with that. So sort of, I'm going to call her less. I am not going to stick with the conversation if she goes in ways that are hurtful for me. I'm going to just keep the phone calls short. I'm not going to engage in messaging, because messaging with my mother was always very unsafe. Because she had a way to interpret anything that was written in the wrong way, always. So I started setting internal boundaries first with myself, and then I got to the point where I actually set a direct boundary with my mother, and the no contact followed immediately after because the boundaries was not accepted at all. So my boundary was something like, I'm not tolerating you talking to me like that, like the screaming down the line. If you continue, I will not talk to you again. And she continued, and every, which weren't many, thankfully in a way, but every attempt that she's made at communicating with me afterwards, because she hadn't really fully believed that I would go through with it and not talk to her, was very aggressive as well. So it was like, okay, clearly my boundary is really not even being heard. So that's it. And here we are, 3.5 years later, still no contact and not regretting it one bit. So this has been my own experience, and by no means it is the absolute truth. But that would be the way in general the no contact happens. So like, first, you don't know your mother is a narcissist. Then you start learning about it. Then you start realizing maybe you've had a feeling that there was something not so right with the relationship with your mother, and then you start realizing, okay, now this behavior is just off. You start getting in contact with how much it hurts you, and it's hurting your life, how much it's impacting your life. You start understanding how it has impacted your life because there's like a ton of trauma from childhood because of the relationship with your mother that you're carrying with you and you need to work with in order to feel better, in order to actually reclaim your life and start living the life you deserve to live. So you get all of these insights, and then being around your mother becomes harder and harder. It actually becomes more intolerable, because once you're aware of the abuse and of the manipulation and all of the stuff that she does, it gets really intense. So you start setting boundaries. That's the first sort of step, is start setting your own boundaries. Be vocal about it. Start expressing them. If that doesn't work and they're not respected, then you have every right to set stronger boundaries. And that's what no contact is. No contact is a stronger boundary. It's a way to protect yourself, protect your energy, and be able to focus then your energy on things that make you feel better. And the healing. I needed the space, like in these 3.5 years, not only my life has improved massively in a lot of ways, but I also needed this space to be able to heal a lot of wounds that I was still carrying, despite years and years and years of inner work. But I still, when I was in contact with her, I was still caught in the loops, and it was way harder for me to step back and actually see it. Well, I could see it, but I couldn't actually, I didn't feel I had the space to fully go in and heal, because to do this healing work, you need to feel safe. And when you have a person like that around, it's not easy to feel safe, because she hasn't made you feel safe since you were a child. Not truly, anyways. So, again, this is no absolute truth. And there may be situations where you want to go no contact way quicker than what I said. Again, you realize the abuse and you go, that's it, enough, and off you go, because it can be so hurtful. It can impact your life to such a degree that you're not living. You're actually not living. You think you're living up until the point you realize you're just surviving, and you're constantly into a hole that you're trying to climb out, and she's pushing you back in every time she calls you, every time she sees you, every time she speaks to you, every time you have to deal with her. And that's no life. It doesn't matter that she's your mother. Again, that's the conditioning. Oh, but she's my mother, I just have to put up with that. No, you don't. You don't, you don't, you don't. If you have to take one thing from this episode, is that you don't owe your mother anything, and that she, like everyone else in your life, save for your children if you have any, they're an exception, but like everyone else in your life, she has to earn the right to your time and energy by her behavior. Your time and energy are precious resources, and you have every right to set strong boundaries to protect them and to protect yourself. So that's, if you have to take one thing, Even your mother has to earn the right to your time and energy, because they're precious, precious, precious. They don't come back. Like, how much effort it takes for you to have the energy to go on every day with that and dealing with that behavior. As the listener said, why do I have to be the one that puts in all the work? Because the narcissist will not put in any work. They won't take any responsibility. They will do nothing. They feel entitled to you doing all the work, like that's your duty. That's not how it works in life. Like anyone who wants to be around you has to earn the right to your time and energy with their behavior, with their respectful behavior, with the way they are gonna listen to you, the way they're gonna support you, respect your boundaries. And it's like a mutual relationship. Yes, you help them, they help you, not in a transactional way, but that's just in a beautiful, healthy way. So those are the people that you go, yeah, I want to have more of these around me. And if your mother doesn't fit into that category, well, then she doesn't deserve to be around you. Being a mother does not entitle anyone to be abusive and disrespectful. Ever. Your mother doesn't own you, and you don't owe her anything. Again, your time and energy are precious, and you have every right to set boundaries and to protect yourself. And if the boundary that you're setting is going no contact, well, yes, you have every right to do that too. So I hope this was helpful. If you have any questions and comments, you can of course comment on the episode, or you can send me an email at mathilde@womenreclaimingtheirfullness.me, sharing your experience and asking your questions. And if you are wondering how to even start setting boundaries with your narcissistic mother, you can download the free boundary roadmap, the boundary setting roadmap. The link is in the description of this episode, and it's an amazing resource and tool for you to start learning how to set boundaries to support you in that. So with that, I'm going to wish you a wonderful week. Send you lots of love. Bye for now.